not just me, but love you. And thus, we before God, Jesus, really love you. And so we find ourselves in this Black History Month. We find ourselves with this 7 years to the death of Whitney Houston, February 11, 2012, the night before the Grammys. And sometimes history comes and repeats itself. And we find ourselves in this epidemic of opioid, people overdosing. And we find ourselves, many of our stars have done their loss of life through that method. And we would be hopeless to think that they were in their worst of worst. But if you hear the angels sing, if you hear Sister Whitney sing, she is now the ancestor that I call in the room today. Because she comes from a long line of history of gospel music singers.
Yes.
She comes from the Drinkers singers in Newark, New Jersey, in New Jersey. Right over there, New Jersey, something, the Garden State. And from there comes her mother, Sissy Houston, one of the great background singers who background Aretha and Elvis. And then from there is her cousin, Dion, who we still have with us today, who said, "Where is love? What the world needs now is
love.
More than love." And so love is the preceding thing always in February because there's always St. Valentine and Valentine's Day. And if you got your boo, you better make sure you have a Valentine's Day. I'm looking at the couple. The younger couple too. Just saying no again.
I'm waiting for mine.
You wait for mine. So am I. Me and you are waiting for mine. You may come in this love season. But if I, you know, just wanted to set the tone for a minute, because people would say that Sister Whitney's life was unlucky. That she didn't have a good life. And she was detrimental to herself and those who loved her. But if you ever seen her, heard her, or saw her, she was full of life.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we are, full of life. For God is love and love is for everyone. So we know that love gives us life. And yes, God loved us from the day we were in our mother's womb. Yes. Or before placed there in the ethers of the universe. Amen. God had a purpose and a plan and a promise for each one of us. Mm-hmm. And that's the real theme of my sermon today. God woke me up on February the 7th and said, write these four words down, for you will need these words to govern you in your ministry. Because there's some hard and difficult days coming up. Martin told me that in January. You know, I hear it every year. I may not get to the promised land with you, but surely we as a people will get to the promised land.
That's right.
Moses couldn't go in the promised land. But he could look over the hill of the mountainside and see the promised land. That's because right. He did not do what God told him to do. Right? And so in this Black History Month, when the nation was born in Philadelphia, and when the first Black church with Bishop Grant Allen, Bishop Allen, and this day, Absalom Jones Day, when St. Thomas was built. And so we had Blacks gathering in South Philly, and we had Blacks gathering in North Philly, and then we had Blacks gathering in West Philly, and there were our homes. But for all of us that are Black, with the number one city with the most home ownership, we are number three when it comes to poverty.
That's right.
Yeah, something wrong with that picture. Number one city is Detroit. Aretha came out of Detroit. Motown came out of Detroit.
Hallelujah.
The cars are all made in Detroit. Detroit had a gospel sound in Detroit. classes, other peoples. And the only one number two is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But if we're number three and we're number one, again, with the murder rate. We're number one with the opioid crisis. We're four times the HIV average. We're in a hopeless situation in the city of Philadelphia. But I came to let you know that in this 13 years of social justice ministry, there has been a light turned on at 55 North Broad Street.
Amen.
Come on. Somebody's life's been changed at 55 North Broad Street.
That's right, sir.
I didn't change them by myself. Every one of you sitting here, whether you visit an old friend, whether you are a founder like Brother Chris, one of the original 10, or you're part of the second group of 21, or you came in here 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, 12, 13. However you got here, God had a plan to put you right here.
That's right.
You're planted here.
Hey,
I don't care where you go. I don't care. Because the door is always open and you can come back here.
Amen.
Is an unlucky number when 13 really is a number of excellence.
Come on, say that. Say that. Teach.
Because in 13, when you turn 13, you become a teenager.
That's right.
And they're asking you to mature. And stop doing the childish things you used to do.
Come on now.
They're telling you to be really about the business.
That's right.
They're telling you to get your house in order.
Wow.
You can't be crying like that no more.
Come on.
You can't be whining like that no more.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be having an attitude like that no more.
No.
You can't be pouting like that no more. You can't be shut down like that no more. You took your 13th year in a relationship and see what I'm talking about. Anybody been there? I don't care what kind of relationship. Don't have to be romantic.
Say that.
It could be the work year
relationship. Yeah.
I know when I got time.
Come on now.
I got to go somewhere else, yeah. But in life, 13 pulls from you. 13 demands more. 13 says too much that is given, much is required.
Yes.
13 says, are you really going to do the work? What we going to do?
Because
we've been playing at it for a while now.
Through
10, 11, 12, those preteen years. We got comfortable and easy with the preteen years because somebody was giving us everything we need.
Spoon feeding us.
We really ask for more. You don't want to get more. You say you want, but your actions don't align with what you say you want. You say you want to build it. You can't even pay rent here. Or you barely pay it here. That wasn't what's on this paper. I don't know where the Spirit's taking me. But dreams are made to be fulfilled. I said God gave you the purpose. Point one, God gave you purpose. So you were brought here for a reason.
Amen.
And if I don't know your reason. I know my reason.
Come on.
13 years ago, I had to come because I am born in my ministry to service. Service those less fortunate. Those that cannot be the voice for themselves. Those that are suffering. Those that are in pain and need help. I was called to come down here and make this city better.
Come on. Amen.
I had no idea. No way. Didn't even know where it was going to be. But by the trust and faith in God, I accepted the call and walked this city. Came down here week after week, 12 years ago, and met with 10 people. And Chris is in that room. And we met every first and third Thursday, did we not, Chris?
Yes.
And planned how we were going to open this church.
Yes.
And I want you to know that that was the group. Now, Jesus had 12. You know what? He had 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he had one that betrayed him, right?
Yeah.
And let me just tell you that there was a 13th apostle. But he was on the road to Damascus. And he was a Christian killer.
Wow.
And his name was Paul.
And both scriptures come from his writings today. But he was a controversial figure. And I don't know if you know that conflict goes with you if you're in leadership. Guess what? All y'all are here leading the summit. So you got conflict from the world. But I came to let you know that today in social justice ministry, fairness comes from God. God is love and love is for everyone. And in love, we are built to take on those things that come against us.
Come on, let's say that now.
The naysayers come for you at every turn. The jealousy is all around the corner. The envy is even in your own family and sometimes in your household. But I want you to know that God, the plan of loving you, if you love God, God knows you, and you love God, God loves you. First Unity Church in Philadelphia. Came back down here at the YMCA with Bishop Jones. No, always with Bishop Jones. He always gets me in trouble. To close it down. Second group of people. Brother Tracy, you was at all of them.
Yes.
All three of them. Second group of people said that, well, we're going to raise it up. We're going to get it back together. And we're going to make you was a sister. We're going to make you pastor. Sister Nanny quit. And they didn't get the call.
The call. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Stepping in somebody else's role.
Come on.
Putting their other people's shoes on. Mm-hmm. Standing in somebody else's shoes. You ain't even get the call. The people placed you.
Come on.
That didn't work. Came down here for black pride toward homosexuality in the Bible, and the people went crazy. You know that book you got to read from there? I'm just saying what it can do for you. For homosexuality in the Bible, Daniel, holy. The people went crazy. Oh, we need a unity in Philadelphia. I'll go back to Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, they need a unity in Philadelphia. Well, if they told you, and you run back to me. God told me you should go. I said, what? Don't kill the messenger. Don't say that to the messenger. We're going to be killed. Surprisingly, I had my best friend in Philadelphia. And you know God will line it up when God has the plan.
Come on.
When God has the plan. Okay, God's got the purpose. Your purpose is to go serve the people of God. I'm talking about me. I don't know what yours is. But when you have the plan, God gives you the plan. God writes it out. Just like he wrote out the plan of the Ten Commandments on the rocks. He wrote the plan on your heart. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know how you're supposed to be acting. You know how you're supposed to get there. It says love is gentle, humble, and patient. Even when people that get on our nerves, says that scripture, Ephesians, you got to love them. You didn't say you had to like them. You got to love them. I want you to know the difference. Because in the church, in their behaviors, if their behaviors are out of sort, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will come in the conflict resolution and give you the words that will quiet their restless. That's me. Been a many a trouble up in here. Been a many a trouble and a many attacks at me. But in the minute of turning it over to God, what's my favorite phrase? Put him on what?
On the altar.
On the altar. Lay him on the altar. And God will do the rest. You leave him there.
That's right.
You leave your problems at the altar. You leave the people of trouble at the altar. And God will make love come in the situation. That's all we're talking about today. This is the day of love. This is the week of love. Many people are gonna do, and you know they commercialize everything. Please go to Hallmark and get your cards. Please go to 1-800-FLOWERS. Please go to the reservation.
spend over $100 so we can profit. That was not St. Valentine's idea.
Come on.
St. Valentine was about feeding the poor.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm.
That's
and clothing the
naked. That's it, Patrick. That's it.
St. Valentine was a Roman priest.
That's it, Patrick. That's it.
You
know, come on, teach me.
When Christians was high from the emperor.
That's it.
They called him one day on the road going to feed the poor. And they said, where you go?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to do my God's business. And what business is that, Valentine? It's not really Valentine, though. It's Valentine. First of all, they didn't change the name to, you know, just make it more commercial. Valentine's out there. Say Valentine. Where you go? I'm going to go feed the hungry. You can't feed the hungry. It's against the law. It's the Roman law. You can't feed the hungry. They're supposed to die. They're just hungry. They're poor. And God's wrath is on them. They're just supposed to die on out. And then we don't have to look at them. We don't have to walk by them. We don't have to hear them begging for more food. We don't have to hear that every day. Didn't feel rather scared about that from place to place.
Yes.
I'm hungry. Rick, you were saying that. I'm hungry. Feed me.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
I don't have time to feed you. You dirty. What you smell tonight? That was your line, wasn't it? You didn't like the stinky part. But the truth comes out of your God, and Valentine's Day, feed these people. Whatever you say, my Lord says, feed the people. And they decided, well, Valentine, you are a problem. And the way to get rid of a problem is to just persecute you. So they killed Valentine. Because he would lay down his life for a friend or a stranger, another human being.
That's right.
He was about human kindness. Mm-hmm. He was about what the scriptures said be. God is love and love is in me. And if God is in me and I'm in God, then God is in you.
Amen.
Mr. Brady teachers always say, I see the God in you. Which means that that's a reflection if I look at
Mr. Brian,
this is
the
God in
you.
Come on now.
Amen.
Come on now. Say that. Our work has been that. We've seen the God in each other through the years.
That's right.
Good, bad, or indifferent, right?
That's right.
Right. And so we too have to do that. Because the pieces is that unity is definitely the power of love.
Come on.
It's the power of love. Like Luther said, it's the power of love. And what's in that love? What is in that love? There's a creation in that love. That's in that love that I see you. There's a light in that love that will drive the darkness away. It's not named pause, maybe. Pause not so.
Yes.
It's named pause light for a reason.
Right. Yes.
Because people need to come out of the darkness.
Yes.
They need to deal with the illnesses of the day.
Yes.
They need to deal with HIV. They need to deal with the opioid. They need to deal with the hunger in the city. They need to deal with the poverty. They need to deal with the disgrace. They need to deal with the poverty. They need to deal with the poverty. They need to deal
with the poverty.
They need to deal with what it is. And so we're having a reunion project. I don't know who came up with it. They say maybe I came up with it. I think it came from the membership. And we had a reunion. I don't know. Did it come from me? Who? Me? Him?
It's probably
not. Oh, no, never. Marcus, probably. Love you much. No, it came from him. Now that makes sense in our conversation. But in the reunion project, it's about what reunion is about. Reunion is about people who've been separated because of time, space, or other things coming back together.
That's right.
And that is what unity is. We come back together, right? And then the second phase of reunion, of the reunion project, or reunion, the definition of reunion, is that it is a gathering. We come together as a gathering because we miss one another or long for one another.
Amen.
And you see, that is a fellowship. You've got unity, fellowship. And then the other part is that we come back together as different people, as split personalities, as you a part over there, you over there, and then we come back as the whole body of Christ. And that is the church.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. That's Unity Fellowship Church. And so we're charged this year, and if you didn't know it, for us to come in the reunion project. Mm-hmm. And the reunion project, that's why development and outreach is meeting on Tuesday. The development reunion project is about making sure we reach out.
That's right.
And bring in.
That's right.
Cast out your nets, fishermen and women, so that you may draw the fish in.
That's right.
The boat. This boat. What kind of boat is this? This is a boat that's sailing out of this port.
Hey.
What kind of boat is this? This is a boat on a mission that has got a course. What kind of boat is it? It's not a boat going zigzag or going from right to left. It's a boat staying on the course. What course is that? The program that we can do up in here, we gonna be representing the program. We have a BJ sermon. What do you want to do? You listed 25 things. What Sunday was that? First Sunday?
Yes, sir.
First Sunday of February. Y'all listed 25 things that you wanted in your vision of the new space. Why is it the new space? Because it's a new day.
That's
why
right.
is it the new space? Because it's a new way.
That's
why
right.
is it the new space? Because it's a new energy. Why is it the new space? Because it's a new love. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to tell you that God got something for you.
That.
You've asked for things from God.
Oh, yes.
blessed be your boy by the faith and hope. Community Development Corporation. We've been asked to be able to walk into the Love Center and mentor a young person.
That's right.
You've asked to go into the church sanctuary and meet the one that is about to commit suicide. Oh, Jesus.
Come on, man.
But you're the light to bring them out of their darkness.
Come on, man.
You're those ones. You've done it already in here. God says you can do it in a better place. Amen. You can do it in your own place. You can be the owner and not the tenant. You can be the lender and not the borrower.
Come on, man.
Your name can be on the mortgage and not the agreement.
Amen.
But you gotta see it. You gotta believe it. And then you gotta own it.
Come on.
Whatever the cost. I had to believe in UFCCP when I left New York. Whatever the cost. I had to see it first. And then I had to believe it second. And then I had to own it. I am the pastor. I am the leader. And just like with the space, I gotta own it. And we gonna know. I see the parade out of here. Up market or down market or behind us, I don't care which way. But I see the day when God says it's time. Move on, it's time. Give God a hand clap.
Amen.